You don't need to feel like financial wellness is impossible. Acorns gives you small, simple steps to get you and your money on track. What I love about Acorns is knowing I am doing something proactive for my future. And it's not a time suck because basically Acorns does the hard part for you so you can give your money a chance to grow. So head to acorns.com/clink or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Paid client testimonial. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, and SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/clink. Listeners, is your child struggling with a specific subject? Do you want to help set them up for success? IXL Learning is an online learning program that enriches your homeschool curriculum. It offers practice in math, English, language arts, science, and social studies while adapting to each child, meeting them where they are. Plus, IXL encourages students to be curious and empowers them to choose how they learn. In my house, my daughter could not wrap her head around ratios in her sixth grade math class, and I was not much help, except for that I put her on IXL and got her set up to do the tutorial on ratios, and it was the boost she needed. IXL is super simple like that because everything on IXL is organized by grade, subject, topic, and subtopic, making it simple to find activities for the exact skills you are covering. IXL is trusted by 15 million students worldwide and has proven to improve performance in over 75 scientific research studies. So make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and Housewives of True Crime podcast listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hi, and welcome to Housewives of True Crime.
Welcome.
Welcome. I am Tabitha. Give me Dateline, white wine, and I'll pick up your kids in the carpool line.
The next day, right?
Yeah, the next day.
Okay.
And I am Gretchen. I like white wine, true crime, and in bed by 9 because I have a lot of stuff to do in the morning.
We are Housewives of True Crime.
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are.
Okay, welcome.
Welcome.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Clink, clink.
Clink, clink.
Oh.
Virtual.
Virtual clink, clink. And all with all of you, if you're driving in the car in the morning on Monday and.
Sucks to be you.
It just is what it is.
Just kidding.
We are also doing the same thing.
Yeah, totally.
But we got all dressed up for you for this New Year's. Well, it's on the 6th. This is dropping on the 6th, but it is our first episode of the New Year. So. Happy New Year to all of you. Thank you for listening to us. Thank you for bringing us another year. This is now our 6th year. Is this true? Holy moly. Gretchen just reminded me that we've been doing this for a while now. Mm-hmm. But we really think 2025 is going to be the year for us. And
yeah, I was so committed to it. When I woke up this morning, I tattooed it on my face with eyeliner.
She did.
Tabitha made me wipe it off, though. Didn't look it on camera.
She came to the podcast with it on with all great intentions, but it just didn't go well. But
it wasn't working for me. Yes, I didn't really get it together as fancy as Miss Tabitha, who looks glam-alicious. I am wearing a vintage clink clink sweatshirt, and I put my hair up. I feel like updos are fancy, but I had a rough night. I did not sleep well, and I went down a Sister Wives rabbit hole.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah. One of those.
That'll do it to you. Mm-hmm. That'll do it to you. Okay. We have a lot of new listeners. So listen, 7 minutes of our podcast in the beginning is all chat. And some people love it. Actually, most people do. Some people hate it. And we don't mind. Just fast forward.
Yeah, feel free.
And get right to the case. But I think you will notice over time, you might enjoy the first 7 minutes.
You might actually start to like us. You might hate us in the beginning.
You probably do.
But you might.
But you might. So,
oh my God. Today is the first day of my kids' Christmas vacation.
Yeah, we recorded early.
When okay. we're recording this. Yes. I am so excited to not have to drive them anywhere for like a hot minute. I just went to my son's Christmas program at school. Did you have to go to any of those?
I did.
Yeah. I asked him what songs he was singing, and he told me it's a surprise. And it really was, because he did not know the words to any of them. That's why he gave me that answer.
Okay. So I had to go to my son's band performance. And then I get an email after that was like, hey, we think that Caden doesn't really enjoy band any longer. And we're going to give him an option of just having study hall instead of being in band, because he's kind of a nuisance. Yeah, I got the boot from band. So it's okay. I just say, fine. He's, you know, he's not into it. We're all good. Let's go.
Well, I had to deal with that with one of my children in the beach volleyball.
True.
So, think you kind of. Just, let me tell you, there is a little aftermath, though. It'll be like a traumatic thing in the future.
Yeah, it's okay.
Like anytime they see a band thing, they'll be like daggers. Maybe not because he's a boy. You know, like that's the difference between boys and girls, right?
Yeah, he probably doesn't give a two.
He probably doesn't give a crap. My son like could be at like at war, and then he's like, oh, he's a great guy. I love hanging out with that kid. My daughters are like, in the third grade, she laughed at my sparkle shoes and she is still dead to me.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so true. It's that isn't that life? It never changes. Yeah. Cross me once, you won't cross me again.
Again.
Right. We don't pull the George Bush over here. Mm-mm. Okay, so should we get into the New Year case?
Yeah, New Year, new crime. What you got? New crime. Throw it down.
They just keep coming, you know, Gretch. I mean, the news lately has been freaking bananas. This case actually didn't come to an ending until just a couple weeks ago.
So about a resolution.
Resolution. Did you make a New Year's resolution, by the way?
Yeah, same one I do every year. Get skinny.
Okay. All right. All right, Claremont, Florida. Are you familiar?
No.
Okay, it's located in Central Florida, just north of Disney World, near Orlando. It has a population of 44,000 people, 19 square miles. It looks dreamy. Like
really, in the middle of Florida, far from the beach, lame.
No, but it's not really. You know, it's kind of inland-esque, but. It looks cute. I mean, well, from
looks
what
cute.
I saw.
Okay. And maybe you're safe from all the damn hurricanes.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So it's got a cute downtown shopping area. Their advertisements say come sip, shop, and stroll.
I like all those things.
The median income is about $76,000 per household. And the house you can buy, which looks pretty nice, is about $477,000.
So, okay. That sounds like not too shabby.
Yeah. The story starts out like a lot of our stories. First comes love, then comes marriage, then comes death sometime after that baby carriage.
Yeah. So, babies will make you kill somebody.
Be forewarned, new listeners, that if you didn't know you were listening to a true crime podcast, you are.
Yeah.
Lori and Mike Shaper were almost lifelong sweethearts. These two started dating in the seventh grade. They met in a small town in Lawrence, New York. Lori was a bit more studious than Mike, graduated from high school, then went to college. Mike wasn't really into school. He dropped out early and decided, well, I better just get my GED. He had aspirations of being a pilot and did eventually get his pilot's license. He flew for a division of the U.S. Airways out of New York City. And in the late 2000s, these two decided to up and move from New York to sunny Florida. Lori was pregnant with their daughter at the time, and it just seemed like a better way of life to live down in Florida, which I find a lot of New Yorkers do.
Definitely.
Make their way down there.
Right.
After they experienced their first hurricane, Gretchy, guess what?
Yeah, these no two fun.
They hightailed it back to New York.
Oh, yeah.
They lived there for about a year and then decided the cold weather was balls to the walls and went back to Florida where...
Yeah, just get a little prep, right? Yeah. A generator, some of those buckets of food.
It works out.
You can work out a hurricane here and there.
So Lori worked from home and Mike commuted back and forth to New York for his job. Florida wasn't particularly easy for these two as commuting is hard. And being a pilot's wife is also hard. I know because my mother-in-law was one and so was my stepmother-in-law.
Oh, I have a friend whose husband is a pilot and he only worked like 2 days last month.
Well, and that sounds dreamy.
No, she hated it. She hated it so much. She couldn't wait for him to get back to work.
Because sometimes like my father-in-law worked the like overnight shifts to Germany, you know, so you're gone for, if you're international travel, you're gone for a while. If you work those night flights, you're gone at night. And I think that's kind of how Mike and Lori's relationship was. It wasn't easy for her to have him out and about for long hours.
Well, my friend inspired me to do something. Her husband left his board shorts. They have a nice pool.
Yes.
And he left them out. So she took a picture of it and has just been waiting for him to take them inside. It's been like weeks.
Yeah, my husband does the same shit.
So I decided to, I'm gonna try that. Like, let's see what happens if I never take, because we have a hot tub, we don't have a pool. So, been like 10 days, and another two more pairs have been added to the pile in my backyard.
Yeah, so you just have to do it. I've come to the.
I know, it's just a fun experiment.
Oh, okay. It's gonna go over really well when you like tell him.
I know.
I know how that goes. Mm-hmm. All right. So long hours, night shifts isn't ideal for this family and kids. You know, well, that's another burden. It was so much of a burden that Lori actually moved her family back to, actually not her family, just her and the kids back to New York for a brief time after an incident that occurred. This incident occurred in September of 2014 when Mike was arrested for domestic violence.
Ooh.
Well, it's a little sticky. Lori kept a 38 caliber handgun that was pink, by the way, next to her nightstand, which I don't know what I think about that.
I don't think good thoughts. I'm not afraid of being opinionated. No.
Yeah. I think that
guns are your,
you need to
the right,
but whatever.
Lock them up. That's what I say.
So anyways, Lori has this pink handgun. There's some sort of altercation between these two. They were fighting, and Lori ends up hitting Mike over the head with the handgun, causing a laceration. I think bleeding bad.
Yeah.
When the police came, Mike ended up saying it was his fault. He pled guilty, and it was to, you know, keep the kids in the house and avoid the possibility of getting them taken away by CPS and all this stuff.
Listen, this is all just an argument why you should keep your guns locked up. If I had a damn access to a handgun every time I got mad at my husband, right there.
not a good idea.
I might pee an episode, okay?
Right.
Like, yes. There needs to be a barrier between you and the bullets.
It's true. It looks from an outsider perspective that both of them probably escalated the fighting in the home, and they both probably had combative personalities. Yeah. Even this police report, the police officer was like, it's kind of undetermined who is the aggressor in this situation. I just know that Mike did take the blame for it. Whether or not it was really his fault, I don't know.
Yeah, I can
and
see
sometimes,
that.
You know, sometimes two people are both abusive with each other. You know?
Yeah.
So at this point, she moves back to Florida or back to New York to be with her family. It didn't last long. She returned back to Florida after this quick stint away. And Mike decided to leave his pilot job. He got a job at Disney working as a monorail tech. So no more night shifts and no more away from the family.
Okay.
Embrace new beginnings. What a better way to start off 2025 than to learn a new language. I got Rosetta Stone over a year ago and have really enjoyed learning a couple different languages. Y'all know that when I went to Japan, I was learning Japanese, and now that my daughter is taking French in school, I am learning French through Rosetta Stone. It's amazing. It's been around for 30 years, so it is really the most trusted online tool to learn a new language. They have 25 different languages to choose from: Spanish, French, Italian, German, Japanese, Dutch. I mean, if you name it, they probably have it. I think that it's amazing, and you should think about doing this for your New Year's resolution too. It's convenient and flexible, and the value is unheard of. You get a lifetime membership for all 25 of those languages. Start your New Year's off with a resolution that you can reach. Today, Housewives of True Crime listeners are going to be able to take advantage of this New Year's special from Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your New Year's offer at rosettastone.com/today.
Listeners, every year around this time, I resolute I'm going to get grown-up stuff done, like get that colonoscopy over with that my doctor's been bugging me about, get my affairs in order, like making a will. And why is it that a will seems to be more daunting than the colonoscopy? Well, it doesn't have to, because trust and will makes creating your will easy, like lounging on the couch easy. The website is really simple to use and the process is straightforward. Each will or trust is state-specific, legally valid, and customized to your needs. So for my family, my main concerns are guardians for my children. Whether your main concerns are your care wishes, your final arrangements, or power of attorney, Trust and Will has you covered. When maneuvering through the process, if you have any questions that stop you in your tracks, there is actually live support available through phone, chat, or email. Trust and Will has earned thousands of five-star reviews from Trustpilot. So check one of your goals off early this year with Trust and Will. Protect what matters most in minutes at trustandwill.com/HTC and get 10% off plus free shipping. That's 10% off and free shipping at trustandwill.com/HTC. Lady listeners, could your daily routine be full of hormone disruptors? It sure can. You know, there are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now, in our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, and they all mess with our hormones. Then there's the natural hormonal changes our bodies go through. Perimenopause, menopause, and while it's a natural process, it doesn't mean we have to suffer through it. The good news is that we don't have to suffer through it anymore, because now we have Hormone Harmony, a formula made with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier, and that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. Hormone Harmony is a phenomenon. Women can't stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds, y'all. Hormone Harmony has been part of my routine in 2024 and will continue to be in 2025 because, simply put, it makes me feel better. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use code CLINK at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code CLINK for 15% off today.
By 2015, Mike was 33 years old, working at Disney, and he had a side gig of building and selling guns. Lori was working from home, and although the schedule seemed a bit better, the relationship still did not. On November 7, 2015, Lori and Mike went to a tractor show together with their kids. One of Mike's coworkers, Frank Merritt, saw them there and noticed the couple didn't really look too happy.
Well, I would feel like there would be a lot of resentment that he gave up his pilot's job. I feel like that takes a lot of training. Am I wrong? It's a dream. Like him giving it up at 40 after he's done it for a minute, like, okay. But 33?
Yeah, young.
That's young.
Yeah, he was young. Yeah, so he wasn't flying for that long.
Yeah.
I would agree with you. So the Shavers ended up leaving early from this tractor show. Frank texted Mike the next day, but didn't get a response. He texted again the following day, and this time he did get a text back. Mike told him, you know what, man, I'm quitting my job to save my marriage. And then
again,
another job you got to quit to save your marriage. I mean, this one, Disney Monorail Tech, it can't be. I'm sure
I'd like my husband to be working.
I know, right?
Yeah. You know what? Don't save a mess at marriage. Financial stress. I need you to be working, bringing home the money.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Well, the very next day on November 10th, Mike was due back to work, but he was a no-show, which was totally out of character for Mike. Mike was in line to become a foreman, and so no way was he just going to like up and no-show. But as you and I know, love will do strange things, and when your marriage is falling apart, it can really shake you. On November 11th, 2015, Lori sent a text message to her sister saying that Mike left yesterday. He just packed up all his stuff, went to the airport. She claimed that Mike moved out of their house to start a new family, which seems Also out of character.
Yeah, that's quite a jump.
It is quite a jump, but maybe it's true because sometimes people do have other families.
I know, but you would think you get out of the marriage, you get on the apps, you start banging. You don't go right to starting another family.
Unless you had another family already because you were a pilot. I don't know. So anyways, Mike just took off. And from that point, he didn't really talk to anyone. Friends and family reached out to him via Facebook Messenger and text messaging. And they would get replies back saying he just needed some time. He wanted to be left alone. Mike's boss texted him on the 12th being like, hey, dude, what are you doing? Are you coming back to work? Like, where are you? And he just sent a text back and said, I'm having issues at home. I'm in Georgia now. Just fire me or I'll quit. I'm not returning anytime soon. So it really did seem like Mike kind of went off the deep end. Mike's coworker, Frank, the one that saw them at the
tractor show,
went to the shaver's house on the 13th to check on him. Lori told Frank that Mike left to Georgia after they got in a fight and she found some other woman's number in Mike's phone. When Frank said, wait, what? If he left for Georgia, why is his car still in the driveway? And Lori just said, hey, I don't know. Robert Mercado picked him up and drove him there, which was another one of their friends. Frank was perplexed, but thought, you know, this dude must be having like a real early life mid-crisis, early mid-crisis. What is it? Early midlife crisis.
Midlife crisis.
Yeah, but he's not in his midlife yet. So it's like early midlife, like 33, still pretty young.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm still pretty young, but you know what my daughter asked me yesterday? She was like, hey, I don't know what to get dad. And I was like, well, like, okay, let's think. And she was like, you know, I just don't know what to get an old man. I was like, oh okay. My God.
Back that up, girlfriend.
I was like, that you think dad's old?
An old man?
Do you think I'm old?
Yeah.
Anyways, okay. So Thanksgiving came and went, and then Christmas, and Mike's family and friends were still trying to find out what the heck happened to him. And they just kept getting responses like, everyone just needs to leave me alone, just like they did my entire life. And it does seem like Mike's family was a little more distant. Like, he does have brothers and sisters, but they didn't live close. So like they did talk and text from time to time, but they weren't, you know, the family that was talking every single day or, you know, like in the same town kind of thing. So a few months later, Mike's niece, Desiree Snyder, sent him a message and got a real bizarre reply back. Mm-hmm. He replied back, who are you? I don't have family anymore. I have no clue who you are. Stop messaging me. Well, friends and family were really thrown off. And what was more bananas was Lori, well, she didn't seem to care at all that her husband and father of her two kids just kind of up and walked away. She quickly sold all of Mike's stuff that he left behind. And she was done with everything. All his guns. He left all his guns behind. She sold those. She sold his clothes. She sold all his tools. And even got like... the dude even stopped paying for his car. So, you know, the car that was sitting in her driveway got repossessed.
You think even if she wasn't upset about her husband, she'd be upset about losing the Disney privileges.
I know.
True. I mean, she has children.
I know.
Like, you're just going to quit? F-A-A. You know how much a season pass costs?
Oh my gosh. At Disney World, I can't even imagine. You know how much one day at Disney World costs to like park hopper? I
forget
can't.
About it.
Yeah. So Lori also was quick to have a new boyfriend, a married man boyfriend named Jeremy Townsend. He was a fellow dad at her school. And when that didn't work out, which I will circle back to in a minute, she met a man named Travis Filmer, who she ended up marrying and having a couple kiddos with pretty damn quick. And I think she married him, but she never really officially divorced Mike.
Oh,
which I don't think is legal there, Lori. But we just talked about that a couple weeks ago with somebody else doing that shit. So weird.
I think he has to be declared. You're right. I think he has to be declared dead.
Yeah, but he wasn't. He was like,
yeah, because then if she did, they'd have to have a investigation.
Yeah.
Listen, I know. We all know where you're going with this. You don't return my message. I might just let you. But if I actually give a shit, I'm going to be asking for proof of life, people.
Yes, true. especially if your messages come back weird. Gotta be like, mm-mm. All right. Before marrying Travis and moving him into their home, she did make some changes. Like, you know, I said, getting rid of all of Mike's stuff, but she also decided to fix up her backyard. She put a fire pit in, you know, like one where you're sitting around with the camping chairs. You know,
we I'm like a total fire slut. I love it. Yeah.
I like it too. The property was on a few acres, so it was nice to have like a little patio fire pit concrete kind of thing. Lori seemed happily moved on from her previous life, but Mike's friends and family were still really unsettled with the lack of seeing Mike and these strange responses that they got. So after 3 years, Scott, Mike's friend, just couldn't take it anymore. And after speaking to Mike's family, he decided to call Lake County Sheriff's and request a welfare check on Mike and report him as a missing person. So on February 2018, deputies rolled out to the Shavers property, as this is Mike's last known address, and talked to Lori. She told them the same thing that she had been telling Mike's friends and family. Mike left to Georgia. According to Lori, the last time Mike was at their house was in September of 2014. She said she saw him in person at some sort of custody trial in 2015, but she really hasn't seen him. Lori was cooperative with these deputies. She let them in the house. She let them look around. She was cooperative up until the moment they asked about this concrete slab and fire pit that was outside.
Ooh.
Scott had mentioned to them that the slab had appeared not long after Mike had been last seen in 2015. And so specifically, the deputies asked Lori if she would permit cadaver dogs.
And it took the friend 3 years to call the police.
Yeah.
Some friend. Sorry, it's a long, Scott.
It's a long time, right?
Mulling that one over.
It was actually probably around, it was probably like 2.5 years, right? So February 2018, and he went missing November 2015. So like, but yes, a long time, years, right? Like years went by. And
my neighbor friend fell ill and I didn't see her for like 4 days.
Oh, I know.
And,
you were
like, and there was a concrete truck in front of her house. And I was like, proof really of life. Worried. Yeah, I was really on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they asked Lori if they would allow cadaver dogs to come and search the slab. And Lori was like, all the pleasantries went away. And she said, it's about time that you guys leave. So they went back and decided to get a search warrant, which did take a couple weeks. They also decided to look into like what Mike's been doing. Where is he? Does he have, you know, a new license somewhere else like Georgia? Well, no, Mike had no cell phone. His vehicle had been repossessed in February of 2016. He had no other vehicles registered to his name. He did not keep up with his pilot's license, which was very cherished to him. His passport had expired, and his driver's license had also since expired. So that doesn't seem very good or likely.
Yeah, I would think like the banking activity like would be pretty easy. Nothing. Yeah.
The only thing that was on Mike's bank, and I think I'll get to that, is just some things that Lori had bought. So they also learned that there was a civil lawsuit against Mike for non-payment of a credit card, but they couldn't ever serve the lawsuit because they couldn't locate Mike. The Lake County Sheriff's Office entered Mike into the National Crime Information Center database, which computerizes like missing persons, criminal information, etc. And they also talked to Travis Filmer, who was Lori's new husband. Travis told deputies that Lori did make a statement that concerned him in around April 2016. She told Travis about Mike. She said, you know, it's not that he's missing. He's just no longer walking the earth. She also told Travis that something bad had happened and there might be a body on the property. Travis was like,
what are you talking about, Willis?
Yeah, but then he didn't call the cops or anything. So weird.
Yeah, not good.
But I will say Lori is Lori has a history of lying and making stories up. So I'm just thinking maybe Travis already knew that about her or saw that she has this kind of pathological lying problem and was like, okay, like maybe this is just another one of her.
Okay, I could see giving someone the benefit of the doubt, but it's still a little tricky when the person is actually missing.
Right.
If you're crazy enough to be lying all the time, are you crazy enough to be killing?
I know.
Maybe. And
the other thing is, too, it's like, Travis, were you just happy that you didn't have to like deal with an ex-husband and all the shenanigans of that with two kids and more kids coming and all that stuff? I don't know.
Yes. Yes.
So on March 9th, 2018, police were back at Lori's property with the search warrant in hand, along with cadaver dogs and excavating equipment. And sure enough, the dogs alerted to that fire pit right away. And it didn't take long before the cement pad and fire pit were dug up. And guess what they saw? Three feet underneath the slab, there was a tarp with ratcheting straps. And inside that tarp was a sheet, and it was wrapped around human remains. The body was clothed with only underwear, shorts, and socks. And all indications were that those remains belonged to Michael Douglas Shaver. But of course, an autopsy and DNA analysis needed to be made before they could identify him. But of course, it did all come back. Okay, a second search warrant was served, and a technology called Blue Star Forensic was used. Blue Star is an extremely sensitive blood reagent used at crime scenes that can detect like presumptive blood stains with the naked eye, even if it's been cleaned already. So they used it to track the like sliding door into Lori's backyard that led from the dining room to the porch. And it did indicate that a lot of blood was present. But look, I mean, it's been 3 years, right? Or two and a half. I mean, whatever. The blood ran in.
Well, I'm pretty sure. I mean, I'm kind of amazed they even like pulled out the big fancy technology, because I mean, you got the body in the backyard. What more do you need?
What more do you need?
Boo, I know. Right?
Yeah.
Don't bury a body in your backyard. Okay.
Under a cement slab.
Don't shit in your own backyard. Don't bury a body in your own backyard.
I know.
It's not smart.
Technicians also found hairs in the same area. Swabs were taken of that drip area and sent off to the lab. The DNA tests on the remains found in the tarp were, of course, Douglas Shaver. His cause of death was one single gunshot wound to the head with a .38 caliber bullet, and that was retrieved from his skull. The coroner ruled out suicide as death because, well, I mean, also because he's buried, but like... But it was, the trajectory was from like the back of the head, and there was no way that Mike could have like done that to himself. The time of death wasn't able to be nailed down because he was severely decomposed at this point. Also, by the way, neighbors did complain of like a very foul smell in her backyard for a while. But the other thing is, like, one of the neighbors said like another neighbor had cattle behind them, because like these are big properties. Oh. Mm-hmm. And she said one time, like, a cow died, and she was like, kind of smelled like that. So,
okay. Now, I know you always get mad at me when I give people tips and stuff. So, forgive me in the new year. But I feel like, don't you need to get like lye or something? I feel like she made a mistake by putting the tarp over him. Like, she could have covered up the smell where the dogs wouldn't have, like, you need to Google how to do that at a public library.
Gretchen, stop it.
And then. Pay cash for it in another county.
I know. I mean, yes.
In advance.
Right.
If you don't want to be on a podcast.
I don't
just
think
saying.
It's Earl. You know?
Yeah. I mean, I'm listen,
it's
I'm just,
Michael.
He, you know, he my mind goes to dark this. Places. He did okay. not deserve this, of course.
No. The drip of blood taken from the back of the house and the hairs were found inefficient to provide DNA analysis, which I think it's just been too long, right? Like the swab taken on the lower track of the slider did have enough DNA, but it had Lori's DNA and three other individuals, but they couldn't identify them. But you didn't need it. It didn't need it. I mean, the guy was there, and that's him. So it's a little bit of a bummer, but I don't think it's like that big of a bummer. Forensic analysis was performed on Mike's finances. Also, like I said before, his debit card was used to buy stuff after November 7th, like on November 9th. There was a purchase for an online store two different charges from Wish.com. And one of them was for some women's lingerie shipped to Lori Schaefer. Another one was a loan from the credit card for $2,500. And it was endorsed by, like, there was like a check. You know how you do, like, they send you that sometimes. I'm always like, don't ever do that. But it had some unreadable signature on it. Over the next 2 weeks after, you know, the last time he was seen, there were ATM withdrawals made from the account and online purchases, but all everything was shipped to Lori at Lori's address. All the shopping caused Mike's account to be overdrawn, and basically it stayed overdrawn. So I think
after she made a lot of rookie mistakes, and I'll bet she got a lot of creditor mail, and that would have been annoying.
I know, right? So true.
I know. I deal with this. Not on account of me. I'm very responsible financially. But apparently the person who lived in my house before me wasn't.
Investigators also discovered that Lori actually did attempt to sell Michael's vehicle, but was unsuccessful. She sold all of his guns to a gun shop owner that actually came to the house to pick them up. He got 9 firearms that included 2 38 caliber revolvers, which is how Mike was killed.
I kind of feel like those should be like, you know how pawn shops have to, like, you know,
I think
do, like, register their shit or something. Well, I don't know how that works, but maybe guns should be like that too. Shouldn't a gun owner be like, that's funny? Men be leaving, and they don't usually be leaving their guns behind.
Yes, this is 100% true. I don't really know how it works, but I know that you have to have your gun and everything registered to you. So I don't know how she was able to do it. And I don't know if it's like more lenient in Florida.
Sorry, but Floridians, but, Texas, but yeah, I mean, you can have like kangaroos there. So maybe they're just a little lenient.
Yeah. She just told the gun owner, shop owner, that her husband left and she didn't know where he was. And since he ditched her, you know, everything was hers.
Okay.
Now.
She sold it. Okay.
She told the gun shop owner that she had sold Mike's aircraft mechanic tools also for $1,000 the day before. And she offered to sell him Mike's vehicle and even her property. Lori never filed for divorce. She never filed for child support. And she never reported him missing because, you know, Lori knew where Mike was.
Right.
Now let's go back to 2015. Remember, November was the last time anyone had seen Mike. But even before that, Lori had started hooking up with Jeremy Townsend, the boo that was married. Well, she was head over heels for Jeremy. And so much so that she thought that Jeremy was going to leave his wife. So she came home one day with a tattoo of his name, like right above her. Cuckoo-ca-choo.
No way.
Yeah, she did. Around the same time that she got this tat, Jeremy's wife started getting Facebook messages from some dude named Mike. Well, she didn't open them. His wife's name is Vanessa. She didn't open them. And then one day she got flowers delivered to her work with a card that read, "Roses are red, violets are blue, my wife's a whore, and your husband is too. Sorry about this. Check your Facebook messages. We need to talk, Mike." Well, Vanessa checked her messages where Mike, I'm saying in air quotes, had written about how he had installed a spy app on Lori's phone. And with this app, he had captured texts and explicit photos sent between Jeremy and Lori, which then Mike, air quotes again, shared with Vanessa. Mike's messages encouraged Vanessa to leave Jeremy due to the affair and even insinuated that Lori was pregnant with Jeremy's baby. Well, this kind of backfired on the Mike, aka Lori, who was really sending these messages, because Jeremy wasn't about it. Jeremy was about being married and broke it up with Lori and remained a family unit with Vanessa. The Townsends were more...
Oh my God. Okay. I'm sorry. I'm slow. So Lori made up this whole thing that a spyware was installed on her phone, because I was thinking, we haven't talked about that before.
No,
that is very smart.
She made it all up because she wanted.
Yeah. She okay. Wanted Jeremy. I'm getting it now. I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Yes. Jeremy was like, I never even saw this Mike guy. Like, I don't even know what she's talking about. You know,
I'm also fascinated with how do they have this interaction at the school?
Well, she
where says, you're like,
she says they met at the school. He says, no, that's not how that happened. They met at the park. They both have different stories on how they met. She has like a full, I'm telling you, she has lots of stories and a lot of different versions of everything that happened. She can't keep her story straight at all. I pretty much believe what Jeremy is saying. Like, I don't think he, but yes, I also do believe that I do know that their kids did go to school together. So
yeah,
you do.
I'm just wondering, you know, because I just never, there's no interactions that are like,
oh, could you imagine you're like sleeping with the guy and you guys are at this party and you're with your husband and like, or he's with his wife and you're like,
that seems so not hot. That seems like diarrhea.
Oh my God. Totally. You know what happens though. You know what happens. Like it's not, it's happened.
None of my friends.
Well, none of my friends either that I know of, but dude, maybe. Okay. So anyways, that, you know, the Townsends also, you know, the police called them and they were happy to cooperate with the investigation. They actually handed over 600 pages of messages that, and like they had so much that they had just saved from Facebook messages, text messages. They even kept the card and envelope from that, those flowers that were delivered, by the way. Also, Lori had a charge on her credit card for those flowers.
Did this chick know that it was actually Lori, not Mike, that had sent the flowers and stuff? No.
Coincidentally, the messages from Mike to Vanessa started right after Lori noticed that Jeremy had started wearing his wedding ring, and she was like accusing him of not, you know, divorcing Vanessa. Investigators looked into the number that Mike was texting Vanessa from, you know, how he put her number and whatever. And the number was only active during the months that Mike was messaging Vanessa. And I'll give you one guess on whose number that was registered to.
L-O-R-I.
L-A-U-R-I-E.
Okay. There's different ways.
Yes. I know. And Lori's, I just told you, Lori's checking account had fromyouflowers.com with the exact number. More forensic evidence determined that the IP address used for all these Facebook messages sent to Mike's friends and family were from Lori's home network. Another of Mike's coworkers provided a statement about bruises that he noticed on Mike's face, chest, and arms, and Mike told him that they came from Lori. She had gotten mad and blew up at him, throwing closed fist punches at him. When the coworker asked Mike why he didn't fight back, he just said, it just isn't worth it. Remember also when Lori and Mike had that 2014 altercation. Well, they decided to date other people at that time. Remember, she moved over to New York and he stayed in Florida. I guess they were like, okay, we can, you know, date other people, see how that goes for a minute. Well, Lori went batshit crazy on a girl that Mike started dating and sent her crazy harassing text messages at the time. She threatened, this girl's name was Kendall. She threatened to kill her. Lori actually, she worked at Disney with Mike, which, you know, it's like kind of tricky. She put a complaint in with Disney. She sent pictures. She also, Lori made two fake Facebook accounts and sent friend requests to Kendall from them. Mike told Kendall on one occasion that Lori was on her way to Disney with a gun, and Kendall was like, okay, dude, this is like enough. Like, we're done. After Mike kind of went not missing, but like gone, she saw a Facebook message, or like, you know how you change where you live and on Facebook? Mm-hmm. She saw that he changed himself to living in Afghanistan. So she reached out to Mike then and just said, hey, you know, what's up? Where are you? Where did you go? You haven't been at work, and where'd you go? And he just responded that I left. And when Kendall asked about where he went, he just never replied back.
Lori has a lot of time on her hands to be like really creating does, all right? these like Facebook accounts and everything and finding dudes to bang at the park.
I know.
Rendezvous. And she didn't work.
She had two kids. She supposedly worked from home. I'm not sure what she did, but she also had two more kids with this new husband after.
That's a lot of time.
Yeah. Lori had also oftentimes talked about the abuse that she got from Mike to some people. And then she also retracted it to those same people. Like she would say, you know, Mike hit me last night, but then she would tell them later, like, oh, I made that up and I like actually did it to myself. So it's hard to know just exactly how their relationship was. Like, was she making that up?
Yeah.
Was she not? I think she has a lot of like inner issues that she does need to address. With all this evidence adding up, it wasn't hard for them to charge Lori with the murder of Michael Shaver. She didn't make bail. She was released right after, and it would be another 4 years, Gretchy, until she would face the judge and jury. And that was just in September of this past year, 2024. And she went on trial for the murder of her husband. And with a surprising twist, dude, Lori and Mike's 15-year-old daughter took the stand in her mother's defense. She was 7 at the time of the murder. Her name is Isabel. She got on the stand and told the jury that her dad came back to her house after months of being away. She heard her mom and dad screaming and arguing before school one morning, and her dad was holding her mom down and kicking her. She said she ran into her mom's room and got her mom's gun, pointed the gun at her dad's head, and shot him. She said her dad was just sitting in a chair, not moving, when all of a sudden Jeremy Townsend came around the corner out of the blue, grabbed the gun from her, and shot Mike in the head, killing her dad. Mm. She said Jeremy told Lori to take the kids and leave, and so she did that, just that, and she went to school. She said there was so much violence in the house that it was just a normal day at school. Didn't affect her really at all. But there are problems to the story.
Yeah, there's a couple.
Like, Mike was only shot once. So there were not two bullets in Mike's head.
Yeah.
Isabel did not remember what year, month, time, teacher's name, time of day, any of the details that you probably would remember if you killed your dad that day.
Yeah, right.
That afternoon, Lori also took the stand. She introduced herself as Lori Filmer, formerly Lori Shaver. She tearfully sobbed through all the abuse that Mike had against her. She also provided the same story about how Isabel shot Mike and then Jeremy came around the corner and shot him again. Lori denied knowing that Mike was also buried in the backyard. She blamed that on Jeremy as well. On day 5 of closing arguments, they were sent to deliberations. I mean, it took, 4 hours for the jury to return a verdict, and that crazy story didn't affect them. It took just 4 hours for them to return the verdict. The jury had several possible verdicts that they could choose from. Second-degree murder, which was the original one. And then they got also to say third degree murder, manslaughter, or accessory after the fact. And they found her guilty of second degree murder, but not guilty of accessory after the fact. And her sentencing was just a couple weeks ago on November 26, 2024. And Michael's family provided victim impact statements where, you know, his brother Brian stated that Lori's actions not only ended Michael's life, but also stole his future. Her actions did not stop the day she took her life and buried him within sight of her backyard. And they asked for a maximum possible sentence, which she did receive, life sentence for the murder of her husband. I do think that there is a possibility for her to get paroled after 25 years, which she would be 67 years old. She requested to be housed at a facility next to her family, but as of December 11th, I looked her up and she was placed in a different facility than the one she asked for. She is housed at the Florida Women's Reception Center and cannot currently have visitors, but I think that's because she just got there and they haven't like.
Yeah, they usually have like a 90-day evaluation.
Yeah.
Well, I think I wish that some kind of child abuse would have been tacked onto her charges. And I don't think she should have, because it sounds like she brainwashed that poor child.
So, yes, I think there is going to have to be a lot of therapy for Isabel, because I do not believe she killed her father. She was 7 years old at the time. And Lori was able to for years, because remember, even after Lori was arrested and charged, she was out on bail for the next 4 years. And you're 7 years old. I think you can be brainwashed to think that maybe that happened.
Right.
When it did not happen.
And I feel like this poor couple. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, the other thing, when she did get up on the stand, the daughter, she said, like, she was like, my mom is my best friend. And, you know, like, I think she was really trying to save her mom.
Yeah. The other thing I was thinking is this, the Townsend couple. Mm-hmm. I mean, when she got up there and said that Jeremy played a role in this, I'll bet they had a little bit of diarrhea because, I mean.
Well, he knew that they said that. He knew that defense was coming. He actually got on the stand before she did and said.
And of course she testified, because she's one of those like crazy narcissists that thinks that they can like outsmart, but really they end up just like burying themselves.
And 100% that happened, because they were like, wait, you took your kids to school that day? Like, you really would do that? No way.
Right.
That would just, none of that would happen. Yeah. Not like any of that would happen. It doesn't make any sense. There's lots of holes in that story. A little bit about Mike really quick. He was born January 14th, 1982, and he was known as a really great guy, super laid back. His family, you know, said he was a great brother, father, uncle, friend, and dad. And so, you know, rest in peace.
Yeah, sorry.
And finally, like, she's just got put in jail.
Yeah.
That's not going to be fun. And she's got four kids.
Yeah. Awful. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. If you want to listen to more of us, we are on Patreon or Clink Clink Club if you listen on Apple. And if you listen on Spotify, it's our Housewives of True Crime group or bonus. That is a good way to support us, and you'll hear us every Thursday. Gretchen does a crime every month, so you get extra. And we talk more, not that we don't talk openly here, we talk a little bit more openly on our bonus episodes, so you might get a little more dirt there. Also, I want to give a shout out to my UPS driver's wife. She listens to us, and so thank you for listening. And anything else, Gretchen Poo?
That's all. That's all I got.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Clink, clink.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.